All right, guys, bird flu is spreading among humans. 5 cases have now been determined in California, and now the first case has now come to the state of Oregon. We're going to talk about this, and then what experts are weighing in on: could the bird flu be the next pandemic, and could it even generate lockdowns? We're going to cover that in this quick update on this Saturday afternoon. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Saturday, November 16th. This is End Time Headlines. This is Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to give you a quick update that I think is definitely newsworthy. In case you haven't heard the news, the bird flu is not going away. It doesn't seem like it's going away anytime soon. In fact, there's been a new report. I want to give you this. We're going to get you right up to par today. The H5N1 bird flu infects 5 more humans in the state of California and now 1 in Oregon. We're going to cover all this today and much more. And before we get started, guys, can you do me a favor? Hit that like button right there. And it only takes a couple of seconds, guys, to do that. Just hit that like button. Help us push this out. Get eyes on our program. And again, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification as well. All right, according to this new report, 5 new human cases of H5N1 bird flu have been detected in California. Oregon is now reporting its first known human case that has been confirmed. Authorities say all cases were transmitted from animals to humans, and there is, quote, no evidence of human-to-human transmission. About 75% of wastewater sites monitored in California show evidence of H5N1. Again, 75%, guys, of all wastewater sites monitored in California are showing traces of this virus. As H5N1 bird flu spreads among California dairy herds and southward migrating birds, health officials announced Friday that 6 more human cases of infection, 5 in the state of California and now 1 in Oregon, becoming the state's first.
I want to be very reassuring in that the threat level to the public is extremely low right now.
The first known case of human bird flu in Oregon has been identified at a Clackamas County poultry farm. Health officials saying there's no evidence of person-to-person transmission and the risk to the public is low.
K2's Emily Gersh is live for us after spending time and speaking with the Clackamas County health officer. Who is at most at risk at this point?
Yeah, Deb. Well, health officials say that the people who are most at risk are people who work directly with infected animals. So this is people who work on farms or the poultry industry or have chickens.
According to the CDC, 52 people have been infected with bird flu across the U.S., 26 in California, 11 in Washington, and now the first case in Oregon. Health officials say the virus is found in wild birds that are migrating along the West Coast. And if they land in a field, that's how it can spread to chickens and then to people who work on farms.
And we've also seen them transmit it to dairy cattle as well. Some people have been getting the illness from those affected flocks or affected herds. And this is the first one that we have found in Oregon.
The infected individual and farm in Clackamas County are not being identified, but health officials say the person experienced only mild symptoms and has fully recovered after receiving an antiviral medication. Symptoms of bird flu are similar to the flu, but there is no vaccine for bird flu. So if you've been around animals that may have been infected and you develop symptoms, you may want to get tested.
The common treatment of flu is antiviral oseltamivir, which also is known by the brand name Tamiflu. It works really well against this strain, as with other strains of flu.
The Oregon Department of Agriculture has identified the virus in 150,000 birds at the farm. Dr. Sarah Present with Clackamas County Public Health says infected birds have to be killed, and that can impact the poultry industry and in turn the cost of eggs and chicken at the grocery store.
Here we go.
I think that a lot of the increased pricing in eggs is due to avian influenza outbreaks across the country. So that is something that people should be aware of.
All right. So according to this official, we can expect the price of eggs to soar, the price of poultry to soar as this virus continues to spread. Now, there was an interesting piece here by today.com. Look at this headline, quote, "Will bird flu be the next pandemic and could it cause a lockdown? Here is what experts say," and I use quotation marks, "experts are saying," quote, "H5 bird flu, a type of avian influenza, has been causing concern for months after infecting dozens of people in the U.S. this year. And again, with this new human case that has been discovered in Oregon, the state's first, it is deepening the worry." Interesting language here. "It is deepening the worry, especially over whether the virus could lead to another, quote, pandemic or lockdown. The patient," again, and we're recapping this, has not been identified as linked to a previously reported outbreak affecting birds at a commercial poultry operation. This is according to the Oregon Health Authority that was announced this past Friday on November 15th. Quote, "I don't want to read all this. We've already went over this. The new case comes after a teenager in Canada was in critical condition and being treated for acute respiratory distress at a children's hospital in British Columbia after testing positive for H5N1 bird flu. The country's first human case." So now, again, Canada now is experiencing their first case of a human transmitted bird flu report here. The patient, whose gender, age, and identity has not been released, was a, quote, "healthy teenager prior to this with no underlying conditions," the province's health officer, Dr. Bonnie Henry, said in a news conference. Then the question is asked, is there a bird flu outbreak? There have been, again, 52 confirmed human cases in the U.S. during this 2024 outbreak. So they're calling this an outbreak. Again, this is according to the CDC. They were reported in California. In case you didn't, if you wanted to know, again, it's California, Colorado, Michigan, Missouri, Oregon, Texas, and Washington State. Quote, "We do not have an outbreak of human infections of H5N1. This was according to a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security and a spokesperson for the Infectious Disease Society of America. Almost all patients had contact with infected cattle or poultry. The single exception was a patient in Missouri that had no animal exposure. There's been no confirmed person-to-person spread." So this is interesting. Nearly all patients had contact with infected cattle or poultry except for one known case in Missouri that, according to officials, had, quote, "no animal exposure. The current public health risk from H5 bird flu is low." This according to the CDC. "Its flu monitoring systems could currently show no signs of unusual flu activity in people, including the H5N1 virus or any unusual flu-related trends in emergency department visits. But the agency is, quote, watching the situation carefully, as well as experts in the field. One doctor who is an expert on emerging viral threats calls it a, quote, important health concern. Quote, emerging infectious diseases are unpredictable. If you told me 20 years ago that we were going to have major problems with coronaviruses, I would have not predicted that. Interesting. Lemkin, who is a professor of epidemiology at the Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health, tells today.com. So, quote, nobody knows what's going to happen with this particular flu. And guys, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I'm going to ask you a question here. Do you believe that this ongoing bird flu, which they're calling this an outbreak, do you believe this bird flu will eventually mutate to where it becomes human-to-human transmission? If you believe it will, hit yes in the comments or in the chat, both, but depending on if you're watching a live broadcast of this or if you're watching the rebroadcast of this. Again, hit yes if you believe it will, or no. Again, the question is, do you believe this will be the new pandemic coming? And isn't it interesting? And we pointed this out in one of our podcasts that I would not be surprised, because remember the last time that Donald Trump was the president of the United States, during his 4-year term, is when the pandemic came. And it derailed all of the progress that he made for our country. I'm just saying, that's the facts. That happened. So wouldn't it be interesting if here we are again, come on, rinse and repeat, no pun intended. We're going to rinse and repeat this same scenario again. Here comes January 20th. Here comes the new president, and it's consequently Donald Trump. Then he gets in. He starts implementing these new policies. We start turning the nation around, and then lo and behold, a new pandemic just emerges. I'm just saying that to me, it's interesting. All right, human infection with bird flu can happen when virus gets into a person's eyes, nose, or mouth, or is inhaled. The illness can range from mild to severe and can be deadly. Human H5N1 cases in the U.S. have been relatively mild, perhaps because people are mostly getting infected through their eyes. It might happen when a dairy worker is milking an infected cow and gets squirted in the face with the milk. This is one example. Quote, you're getting infected from the eyes rather through the respiratory route. According to this expert in this, or this, I guess he's a virologist or epidemiologist, he says that, quote, that they may be less likely than respiratory inhalation of the virus, he adds, when it can go into the lungs. All right, quote, is bird flu a global health emergency? No, the World Health Organization does not currently categorize this bird flu outbreak as a, quote, global health emergency. Outbreaks that do fall into this category include COVID, cholera, dengue, and the Marburg virus, and mpox. Could bird flu turn into a pandemic? Now, here's where it gets interesting. Experts say it is unlikely this particular strain of bird flu will lead to a pandemic because it doesn't have the ability to spread efficiently between people. Well, that's for now. Again, it hasn't mutated per se to that point. H5N1 has been infecting humans since 1997, so it has had time to evolve, but still doesn't easily jump from person to person. Quote, I don't think that this is the highest risk bird flu strain, he says. You can't say the risk is zero, but of the bird flu virus, it's definitely a lower risk. All right, but now watch this. But Lipkin had a similar take. Nobody ever wants to say never because you could be wrong. He cautions, could this virus evolve to become more transmissible? Yes. Has it done so thus far? No. Do I personally think it's going to be responsible for the next pandemic? No. Could it be? Yes. Boy, that really leaves you with a lot of confidence, don't it? Since there are many different avian influenza strains, one of them will be able to cause a pandemic at some point in the future. Let me say that again. Since there are many different avian influenza strains, one of them will be able to cause a pandemic at some point in the future. Now, guys, again, this agrees with the elites. This disagrees with the WEF. This agrees with Bill Gates. All of these pundits, experts, officials, these people in these positions have all said it's not a matter of if, but when. And one of the things that they've highlighted is disease X. When disease X happens, this is the thing that they're concerned. This is the thing that they lose sleep over. They're worried about. This will be the next pandemic that they say will. Where is it going to come from? Where is it going to stem from? Is it going to come? And here's the bigger question. Is it going to come from a natural origin of mutation? Or is it going to be manipulated somewhere in a laboratory somewhere? That's the real question I have. For a sinister, nefarious purpose, like the last pandemic.
World leaders gathering in Davos, Switzerland this week are going to discuss disease X, a hypothetical virus 20 times deadlier than COVID-19. Addressing a global pandemic is also something that a next U.S. president might face. But what exactly is a disease X? According to the World Health Organization, disease X represents the knowledge that a serious international epidemic could be caused by an unknown pathogen. Let's bring in Dr. Amish Adalja. He is a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Thanks so much for being with us. COVID-19 has killed almost 7 million people worldwide. What would a virus 20 times deadlier be like? And is that a possibility that we could see in our lifetime?
It's definitely a possibility, because if you look at COVID-19 and compare it, for example, to the 1918 influenza pandemic, you can see that it is magnitudes less deadly than 1918. And there are strains of viruses that have very high mortality rates that could develop the ability to transmit efficiently from human to human. If we did so poorly with something like COVID-19, you can imagine how poorly we would do with something like a 1918 level event.
Do we know, and maybe this is one of the things they're trying to work out, but where a pathogen like that could originate from as these world leaders think about how to combat such a thing?
Likely these types of pathogens are going to be respiratory viruses, and they may be viruses that are circulating in certain animal species but are not able to transmit yet efficiently between humans. So that could be in bats like COVID-19, it could be in birds like bird flu, or it could be some other type of animal species, swine, for example. And it's really about that interface between humans and animals where interactions are occurring that these types of viruses get a foothold. Most of them will die out, but what we worry about is one that can spread efficiently the way 1918 did.
And so what kinds of preparations might they be talking about? And are there certain roadblocks that we learned about from COVID-19 that just need to be cleared in terms of, I guess, well, within individual countries, but then also cooperation across countries? What kinds of topics do you think they're talking about as they discuss Disease X?
The whole idea of Disease X is about being proactive, to look at the myriad types of viruses that can infect humans and kind of narrow in on certain viral families that are most likely to harbor a pandemic pathogen and start working in those families, even if we don't know which member of those families, or even if it's an unknown member of those families, might cause it the next pandemic or epidemic. So that means thinking about what do you need to do to make a vaccine? What are the antiviral targets? What type of diagnostic tests do you need to have in place? Should we be doing wastewater monitor? All of those types of questions are being contemplated in the effort to be proactive. And what we learned from COVID-19 is that there are obstacles. We have regulatory and bureaucratic obstacles, and we also have this lack of transparency. For example, in the early days of COVID, it was clear in China that this was spreading efficiently from person to person, yet that wasn't the official line from China for some time, and the world was caught flat-footed. So I think there are many roadblocks and many problems from COVID-19 that we can't afford to repeat again with the next pandemic when it occurs.
And would you include, when you say transparency, are you also including just misinformation or the inability of information to reach a trust level with certain populations that allows people to act on it or at least get a message out in the public health sphere?
Definitely. I think that what we see now is this distrust between infectious disease physicians, public health practitioners, and the general public, because what happened is politicians injected themselves into this, and then it kind of got filtered through all that tribal lens that politics often brings to an issue. And that's something that we're already seeing problems with, for example, with measles outbreaks in Philadelphia that are fueled by anti-vaccine sentiment. So yes, that is part of it, that people may not actually be receptive to the protective actions that are being recommended by public health officials, and that's going to come back and make things much more harder than they need.
All right, he goes on to say that the bird flu strain he's more worried about as a pandemic risk is H7N9. So you may want to get familiar with that, because why do I have this feeling that we're going to hear about this in the future, which was first reported in humans in China, of course it was, in 2013, and expanded to more than 1,500 people in just a four-year time period. This virus also doesn't spread easily from person to person, but when people do get infected, most become severely ill. Again, this is from the World Health Organization. The most recent human H7N9 virus infection was reported in China, there you go, in 2019. All right, then the question was asked, could there be a lockdown due to the bird flu? Again, quote, not likely for this strain, since H5N1 isn't posing a threat to the general public. If that were to, quote, change, people should realize that lockdowns like those during COVID are not the, quote, go-to measure for an infectious disease emergency, calling them, quote, very blunt tools. That's interesting. Notice how the CDC is now changing their tune. Because this was definitely not the tune that they had back in 2019 and 2020 with the last pandemic. It was the go-to measure was social distancing and lockdowns. But now they've kind of changed their tune. Instead, proactive measures such as more aggressive testing of farm animals will allow health officials to be more precise when it comes to stopping the spread of the infection. Again, this representative from CDC said when it comes to lockdowns, there's also the question of how far authorities are willing to go. If H5N1 were to become a major health problem, we would have to talk about it. And he's talking about, and again, you can see this in parentheses here, containment. Again, the CDC representative said it would be, we would have to, quote, talk about containment. But I don't think that this is incoming, or excuse me, but I don't think that this incoming administration is going to be amenable to that. Well, there you go. We knew that was coming. So, in other words, again, they're going to put that on Trump, and they're going to put that on RFK because of the position that he's just been promoted to. And so they're already going to speak in a negative light towards them, basically saying they're not going to go for this, and it's not going to happen. So again, I think that's interesting. Now let's get into the jab aspect of this. There are currently four jab candidates for dairy cows that have been approved for field trials, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Poultry. Four potential bird flu shots began to be tested back in 2023. So they're already testing these things. When it comes to humans, the CDC says the U.S. government is developing shots against H5N1 viruses in case they are needed. Wow. The agency further added that it has H5 candidate shots, viruses that could be used to produce a shot for people, and preliminary analysis shows they're expected to provide good protection. So if you want to know if they have the jab ready to go for this, again, according to this new report, they're already working on it. They've been working on it, and that's no surprise. So guys, let me know your thoughts. We'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments. Do you believe that this, again, will be the next pandemic? Is this thing going to mutate? Is there something more sinister that's coming? Is disease X? What is going to be disease X? I'd love to hear your thoughts. What do you think that disease X or the next pandemic will be that is going to be the game changer? Because I think most people, if you talk to most people, guys, the general consensus is that the last pandemic was literally just a prelude to something far worse coming down the pike. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Again, guys, if you're not downloaded our free app, we want to encourage you to pick it up today. You can get it on your Apple and Android Play Store. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to get every headline, every podcast, every talking point, everything that we put out, guys, all of it's going to be right there. We want to encourage you to pick it up today. And of course, guys, if you've not prayed about becoming a monthly partner, if you enjoy these Prophecy Viewpoint segments where we discuss these news and headlines or our equipping podcast, whatever the case, if you'd like to become a partner, you can do that by going to, you can do it different ways. You can go through electronic means, through the app, through the website, or right there at YouTube where it's pinned up at the top. It says support. You can click there, or you can give by check or money order. And you can make that out to Intime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, we're gonna let you go on this weekend. Unless something really significant comes out that I feel like that we need to talk about or have a discussion about, we will probably not see you again until Monday night at our prayer, which, again, will be 7 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern, at least for the larger gathering for the night. But we'll be back here. Of course, we'll be here 2 p.m. Eastern for our viewpoint segment like this on Monday afternoon, Lord willing, 2 p.m. Eastern. So again, unless something comes up this weekend, we will just plan on seeing you guys on Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then we'll be right back that night at 8 p.m. Eastern for our corporate gathering of prayer and intercession. So we love you guys. We appreciate you. Listen, have a great and safe weekend, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.